In the first church that I served, there was a young man. He was in high school by the time I got there. But all anyone would tell me about this young man was that once upon a time, when he was about 3, he was the donkey in the Christmas Eve nativity play. And he was such a cute little donkey. And oh, Pastor Becca, you should have seen him. He had this gray sweatsuit on and these big fluffy gray ears. And he was just so cute. And meanwhile, this 14 or 15-year-old boy is doing what most 14 or 15-year-old boys try to do, but 10 times as much, and he's trying to fall through the floor in front of him and save himself the embarrassment, trying to sink lower and lower in his chair so that he can just disappear. Because here he is trying to run the sound system and have his own place in the church community as a young man, and all anybody could say is, he was such a cute donkey. Don't you remember when he was the donkey? He was so darn cute. And I thought, oh, that poor child, that poor young man, you know, here he is. He's trying to grow up, trying to be his own person. He's never going to outlive that donkey. I'll never do that to anyone, I thought. I spent about 2.5 weeks, or 2.5 weeks, it felt like 2.5 weeks, really did, 2.5 days this week at Covenant Hills Christian Camp in Cabot, wonderful place. Love it. And the director, Todd, and his wife, Vivian, are visiting her home country, New Zealand, for the summer. So they're not there, and there's an interim director. Her name is Katie Taylor. Now, I worked at Covenant Hills Christian Camp 9 years ago for the summer with my then fiance. And that summer, there was this junior counselor, 17-year-old girl, cute as can be, named Katie Taylor. And I caught myself a couple of times over the past few days going, oh, why, that's cute little Katie Taylor. And then I had to remind myself, no, that is interim director, Ms. Katie Taylor, and when she tells you that it's time to go inside because it's thundering and lightning, you had better listen to her because she's in charge, thank you very much. And she's not 17 anymore. I thought, all right, I promised I would never do that. The reason I promised I would never do that is because it happened to me so much. It's great to have so many members of my family here today while I tell this story. So many people who knew me back when, because you know, you go off to college and you come home and you say, I think I'm going to go into ministry. And the people in your hometown and your friends and your family, they laugh. They say, really? You? I know, they deny it. They do.
You did not
laugh. You didn't know me before that. They laughed in a ha-ha irony kind of way, they say, but they laugh. My sister will pick on her because she's not here. My sister laughed. Oh, really? I know the frequency with which you swear. I know the infrequency with which you say your bedtime prayers. I pulled your hair more than any human being has ever pulled another human being's hair, and you deserved it. And I don't think that you're going to do this ministry thing. I knew you when... I know what you're like. I got your number. Or, you know, Vermont's kind of a small enough place that in some ways I feel like I've come back to my hometown, even though my hometown is 45 minutes away. And every once in a while I do run into somebody who knew me when. Hey, aren't you Celeste and Chris's daughter? I remember you. Are you doing like this church thing? No. No. We never would have expected that. Well, Jesus ran into the same problem, which always makes me feel better when Jesus ran into the same problem. Okay, I'm in good company. Jesus ran into the same problem. Last week, we heard this story about how Jesus was healing people, and there were so many people who had heard about him and were seeking healing that there were literally just crowds swarming him. People had to push through the crowds to get to him. They had to, like, wait in line to see him. This is the healer. This is Jesus. They know who he is. They've got it. He's the hero. And so he goes home, and maybe he was expecting, you know, maybe not a parade, but a good welcome. Hometown hero, right? Here he is. He's the guy everybody loves. He's the guy everybody wants to see. So he comes to his hometown, and he goes to his home church, or synagogue, actually, but he goes to his home meeting place, and he stands up, and he starts teaching, and they're like, we don't have to listen to you. You're Mary's boy. I remember you. I remember the time you and my boys, they got into some trouble down around the corner, and we gave you a whooping that day. I remember what you were like as a kid. I knew you when. I know your family. You're nothing special. And the most amazing thing, the most amazing part of this story to me that Mark almost, I think, almost kind of lets slip. It surprises me that it's there. Mark tells us Jesus wasn't able to do many miracles there. Heal a couple people, but that's it. Out of his hometown, he was this superstar. He's the one everybody wants to see, everybody flocks to see, but in his hometown, nobody buys it. And that changes his ministry, because there's something missing. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in what's going on here. And his ministry is actually constrained. He is not able to do as many miracles there, heal as many people, just a few, because their expectations of him are low. And they kind of create the self-fulfilling prophecy. And maybe he even buys into it a little bit. That, you know, like the human part of him goes, yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe that stuff's a fluke. This is the best I've got. Oh, no. These are the people who know me the best, and they say I'm not worth it. They say I can't do this. They laugh at me. They dismiss me. And that actually limits his ability to be in ministry with them because of their expectations, because of how low they are. See, we can do that a lot. We have expectations maybe of others we know. Other people have expectations of us. We have expectations of ourselves that can be really low sometimes. And so we might begin to buy into the expectations of other people. We might believe them when they say, you know what? I know you. You're that kid from some podunk Northeast Kingdom town, child of divorced parents. You didn't really go to church growing up. What do you think you can do this pastor stuff for? We know you. You're that cute little donkey. We're not going to take you seriously as a young man in your faith. The floppy ears were just so cute. I know you. You're that junior counselor. Didn't have a real sense of leadership or strength or go get 'em. Just a little kid. And if we begin to believe that, boy, we're in trouble. If Jesus had believed that, if he'd just sort of stayed there with that idea, oh, you know what? You're right. I am a carpenter, and I'm a son of a carpenter, and that's all I'm going to be. Whew. There goes his career down the toilet. Nothing else. We'd never heard another thing about him. You can't let that happen. We can't let other people define who we are and who we're called to be. So the next part of this passage, Jesus gathers his disciples and he sends them out and he gives them this advice, which I think is really funny in some ways. The humor in it is that this Sunday is like the first official Sunday for people who are new in their appointment. And Jesus tells his disciples, hey, when you go to a new place, if they like you, if you're welcome, make yourself comfortable, bring the things you need, you know, and trust the community to support you. If they don't listen, though, brush the dust off your feet and walk away. Like, see you later. Don't let the doorknob hit you. I'm out of here. And at first I thought, well, maybe Jesus got a little burned, you know? Maybe he goes to his hometown. He doesn't get the welcome he wants. His ministry feels constrained. And he thinks, you know what? If people are going to have that kind of attitude, don't bother with them. Forget about them. They're not worth it. But I think he's saying something more than that. I hope he's saying something more than that. I'm pretty sure he's saying something more than that. I'm pretty sure that what he's saying is, I learned something there. I learned something back in Nazareth. And what I learned is people can have really narrow, really small expectations. It's like they're trying to force you back into who you were as a kid, or who you were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or who you were in that first impression they had of you that didn't go so well. And they're trying to force you back into that small expectation. But you know what? They're the ones who are small. Their expectations are small. Their faith in what you can do and what God can do through you is small. And you cannot let that define your ministry. So Christ says to his disciples, I'm the one that sends you out. You take your walking stick, you take your shoes, you take the clothes on your back, and you don't need anything else. You don't need food, you don't need money, you don't need a change of clothes, and you sure as shootin' don't need the approval of anybody else. You don't need anyone else to tell you who you are and what your ministry is, because Jesus says, I'm the one that's sending you. I'm the one that's sending you out. My expectation is that you go out there and you tell people about God and you heal them. And you cast out all the negativity and all the stuff that is cluttering up their lives. I'm telling you that that's what you do. That's my expectation of you. And so if their expectations are too small, are too limited, then brush those expectations away like so much dust, because it is not worth it. Do not let anyone tell you that you have to be the person you were when you were a kid, or that you were 6 months ago. You don't like that person wasn't strong enough and mature enough in their faith, that person wasn't living into their ministry, then don't be that person anymore. I'm sending you out with my expectation, not theirs. So let it roll off your back. Don't listen to it. This is true of people. This is true of churches. This is true of communities. We all develop reputations. You know, there are good towns and there are bad towns. You know, there are churches that are full of life and there are churches that are stagnant. There are people that will amount to something and there are people that will never be anything. And we have these sort of stigmas and these expectations. Don't listen to them, Jesus says. When you walk into a place with an expectation like that, not just a community, when you encounter a person with an expectation of you or of your church or of your town or of you, your ministry that is too small, that doesn't fit, don't try to squeeze yourself into that expectation. Walk away from it. I'm the one who sends you out. And I'm sending you out with what you need. You need a stick. You need some shoes. You need some clothes. And you need to know that God is the one who calls you. God is the one who sends you into ministry. It is beyond your expectation of yourself. It is beyond other people's expectations of ourselves. It is God's expectation. It is God's call of who we are to be out in the world. So live beyond those hometown expectations. Live beyond your own expectations and into God's expectations. Jesus says, I send you. You are sent by me, and I expect you to do great things. Amen.